December 10, 2022, it's a Watch for Pedro show. Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. Start off the show with Thelonious Monk with John Coltrane. This is a very important period in John Coltrane's life. And much respect to Mr. Monk for helping him out. Ruby, my dear, live at the Five Spot, the year I was born, 1957. Then after that, we had Christmas Song, although it's a little early. That's Captain Copilot. Because of those Estonian software programmers with their Skype invention, I do have with me Vish Khanna. Welcome aboard, Vish.
Oh, this is such a huge thrill and a pleasure for me to be on your show. The last time you and I spoke, you were on my show, and we were talking about Alan Vega and suicide, and that meant a lot to me. And this is such a lovely thing for me. So thank you for having me.
Absolutely. He was talking with me after they got done playing, opening up for the Stooges at the Odeon when the Stooges did all of Raw Power. 2010 or something. And he was the kindest man. He spent so much time with me. He told me he got into singing for a band after watching Ig. He was an artist. And he's seeing Ig sing and dance, and he said he wanted to do it too. It's great.
Yeah, but notice,
he didn't copy him. He found his own Alan Vega way. He's just inspired by him. I think there's an important lesson to learn there.
Absolutely.
Now, Vish, please bring me, well, for the listeners, your earliest musical memory.
Earliest musical memories include my parents. Okay, my parents immigrated to Canada from India in the 70s. And my mother comes from a large family, and some of her siblings also made it over. And every once in a while, much to the chagrin of myself and my older cousins and my sister, we get dragged to something called pujas. Have you ever heard tell of a puja, Mike?
No, but I'm interested.
Puja is a gathering, in my case anyway, it probably means all sorts of things to all sorts of people. In my case, it's a gathering of Hindus. They, in my experience, we would end up in people's basements or community halls. The floors would be covered with white sheets, and they basically have church. And the church stuff consisted of them singing devotional Hindu songs. And like I say, myself and my cousins and my sister and whoever else, the kids hated it. We hated it. Had to sit cross-legged for hours, and all these people, some of whom I guess couldn't sing, would be singing together. And then if I think on it, that was pretty – I didn't like it, but if I think on it, it was my first inkling that anybody could sing. Anybody could make music. It was just like dozens of Indian people singing together, and they had like one person would play tabla, one person on harmonium, clapping, bells ringing. I don't know if that counts, but I was thinking about it because I knew you were going to ask me this kind of question.
It's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers, Vish.
That's right.
I'm wondering.
That's correct.
I'm wondering about these songs you guys were singing. Were they like the Veda hymns?
Well, I mean, you might know more about this stuff than I did. I rejected it so hard.
Because some of these songs are some of the oldest songs. I mean, they're way before writing and all that stuff. So, but, you know, look. You're usually not in charge what first hits you, right? You brought into this world. And so that's why I'm interested in that stuff, because you don't really have a choice. And everybody, it seems like everybody, you know, I've been doing this show 21 years, 7 months, and everybody's musical journey seems to be a little different.
Yeah. So, like, on the one hand, there was that stuff. I mentioned my older cousins. My cousins Anand and Nitin were the ones I looked up to. They were like my older brothers, because we would go from Cambridge, Ontario, to just outside of Toronto, I'd say 2-3 times a month. My mother wanted to see her brothers and her sisters, so we would go see my cousins. But Anand and Nitin loved music, and my cousin Anand in particular would play me the Beatles and U2 and whatever else was going on in the early 80s, you know, and all sorts of the Clash, all sorts of things I heard from him. And I looked up to him. So my first musical memory in terms of sort of whatever, rock, was him playing me a Beatles compilation called Rock and Roll Music Volume 1. And I was like, what the hell is this? And then I was all in. I read every book. I watched every documentary. Like as a kid, early 80s, as a kid, I just I don't know what happened to me, but I became obsessed with certain bands, and I wasn't enough just to hear the records. I had to read everything, watch everything, listen to lots of radio, watched all the, you guys have MTV in Canada, we have Much Music. So I just watched everything I could, and that's how I got into music.
Now, you were saying there were some musical instruments in that basement.
Yeah.
Was there any in the pad you grew up?
No, my parents, weirdly, so despite all that devotional stuff, they were pretty anti-music. I've told this story a few times, and this is the truth. My father had one of those big stereo systems that was made out of wood. Yeah. Huge thing, right? You flip the lids up, and there he had it where there was a record player, an 8-track machine, or 8-track player, I mean. Maybe a radio dial, even, if I think on it. Anyway, he had records.
Yeah, they called them, what they called them in those days was consoles.
Yeah,
stereo consoles. They're like big pieces of furniture.
That's correct. It was like black wood, and then it had some like velvet stuff where the speaker. Like it was a ridiculous red velvet kind of covering the speakers. It was an interesting thing if I think on it. We got rid of it, unfortunately. And my dad had some records. Whatever he heard, he had like Charlie Pride records. But he had a Dean Martin Christmas record that I remember, and a Hee Haw record. A record just of music from the show Hee Haw. You remember that show?
Roy Clark, incredible guitarist. In fact, yes, a friend of Leo Fender's. And
that's
the reason why a lot of electric bass and electric guitars. And yeah. Leo didn't play guitar. You know, he played a little piano and saxophone, but he had buddies who played, and so he comes up with these incredible inventions, amplifiers and stuff. Used a radio, used a military design for his amplifier, right? Because he was in the service during the war. Let me ask you this. School, were you in the choir or the marching band?
No, I wasn't. Like, what happened was I tried to convince my parents I wanted to learn how to play music, and I would play the records that my dad had, or I would play them, and then I would grab his tennis racket, and I would pretend it was a guitar.
Ah.
And I would lip sync to the Dean Martin records. And Mike, I'm not kidding. My parents looked at me doing this, and the next thing I knew, I was in tennis lessons. That's true.
Okay.
I was like, wait.
I think you would call that literalists.
Yes, it would be weird. So then,
You were telling me about your cousin with that Beatle record. But what was the first record that you bought with your own money?
So it was a Beatles compilation called The Beatles Ballads that I bought at the Kmart when I was young. And it's interesting because I don't like compilations and greatest hits records at all now. I feel like there's no context for the music. I feel like when you listen to an album, and you know this from making them.
Well, it's probably a commercial context, like repackaging Creed's Clearwater Revival anthologies. There's like 50 Absolutely. Of them, right? You just, let me ask you this. What was the first gig you saw live?
Okay, so the first gig I saw, let me just think. I actually found the date of it. And like I said, I was, let me see if I have this correct. I was 14, I think I was. And I went with two friends, Dave Finley and Jesse Lambert. It was at the Canadian National Exhibition Stadium, 1992, September 6th. It was Disposable Heroes of Hip-Hopercy, Primus, and U2.
Was that Michael?
Franti.
Yeah, right. He put out some fucking trippy music, that cat. I think he's from up in the city. Yeah. You know, speaking of Toronto and India community and stuff, the producer, Bob Ezrin, he had a stable of musicians, and a lot of them were from there. And his bass man was Prakash John. I don't know if you're familiar with him. But, you know Lou Reed, Rock and Roll Animal, where he didn't play guitar, just was lead singer?
Yeah.
That's the bass man, and he's incredible. I just thought it. Look, you gave me some other Captain Copilot, and I want to play this Quiet too. For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Captain Co-Pilot with Quiet Two. Then Gebedan out of Athens, Georgia. This has got the bass player from the middle class, Mike Patton. He's got a new town. He's got a new musical project. I'm digging it. Came to my gig in Atlanta. Surprised the hell out. He's running the buses in Orange County for a long time. And now he's got a sea change. Thou shalt not grasp the outstretched hand. This is Chapter 3 from the new Boris album. Fade. Incredible. Robert Pollard, Our Gaze, not Guided by Voices, but you tell me the difference. Hammered Holes, we had Alec McKay on a couple episodes again. Mark Cisneros on the drums. Boilermakers Notch. Spotsky, my old buddy from, Minutemen. He's up in Sheboygan these days. This is Hideaway. Andy Livingston, half of Mon Omen, Baltimore. Blight Eyes, too. Not bright. Cyrus Pira with O-U-T for Ale. I've Been Waiting for You from Mike Molnar. Sam Locke Ward out of Iowa with Heaven. And finally, again, Captain Co-Pilot with Unknown Song Number 2. Okay, so there's nothing to play at home. You ain't playing nothing at school. What about not after school graduating, but in the afternoon? Do you get involved with basement bands, garage bands, bedroom bands?
Well, despite my parents not letting me or wanting me to take on music, we did do it. And got my first drum kit in high school with my friends. Everyone played guitar or keyboards. No one played drums. And so we needed someone to play.
No one played bass. Now,
that's right. Yeah, that's right. No one played bass either. We needed people to do that stuff. You're absolutely correct. And I mentioned earlier that I would go on these relatively long drives with my parents to see my cousins. And I would ask my parents to play the tapes I liked. And I would drum along to them on my knees on the drive. And my parents told me to stop it, not just because it was annoying, but they said it was a harbinger of death in Hinduism, which I still have not verified this. But that's how I would learn to keep time and keep rhythm.
You know, I've been reading these books on John Coltrane, these biographies, and he got interested in Indian music. And one thing I learned was there is different music for different times of the day. So I think music is bringing different kinds of information. Maybe the way they grew up, they were hearing kind of death trips, maybe, what they were taught, maybe.
Yeah, and there's probably something to it. My parents would tell me things and not articulate them very well. I'd say, well, why? What do you mean? And they wouldn't explain it. And I think that's the first time I started to question things, and that probably is why I got into punk, because I found there was a lot of questioning.
Ah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Sure,
yeah.
Sure.
So I didn't like the answers I was getting. But anyway,
the examined life is worth living.
Yeah, that's right. So I think so. That's how I feel. So my friend Duncan and Aaron Foster were a couple of brothers. They were really gifted musicians. We looked in does America have a thing called the Penny Saver?
Well, we had this thing called the Recycler. You could put ads in for free, and they come out on Thursday. Cost 75 cents. That's why I bought all my instruments, all my cars, everything.
Right, exactly. So we looked in the Penny Saver, and someone was selling a cheap drum kit. I don't remember what it was, a white drum kit. And we bought it collectively, and we set it up the best we could. Everyone took a shot at it.
Where did you set it up? Because usually it's at the drummer's pad.
No, we set it up. Duncan and Aaron had a farm, and they had a garage, and we set it up in the garage, which was cacophonous, booming. Yeah, and so we set it up, and we all took a shot at it, and I could do it. I could keep time because I think of all the experience I'd accrued driving to and from Scarborough, Ontario, playing on my knees.
Slap it on those.
So
Yeah.
So I started playing there, and we were just kind of mucking about. And then I started playing with my friend Steve Lampke and Dallas Worley in Cambridge. They had played, and this is like we're teenagers, like 16, something like that.
Okay.
And they played. They'd had a lot of drummer issues, keeping a drummer, drummers leaving them. And it got to the point where Dallas figured out that they should just play Steve on guitar, Dallas on bass. They would play with a drum machine. And at some point, I was recruited to play with them and the drum machine, Mike. So I'm playing drums.
You know who also did that? Screamers. KK used
That's
to play
right.
with the fucking drum machine.
I think
it sounded great, though. It was wild.
We got a lot of compliments for this because it was kind of unique for a small teenage band. And we did a show once in Guelph, Ontario, where I ended up.
I know Guelph. Get this. There was a club there called Trasheteria. And I played there, and I got invited to the boss. His name was Mike Watt. He had the same name as me.
That's right. And I was telling someone I was going to be on your show from Guelph recently. I said, not Trasheteria Mike Watt, the Mike Watt. That's
okay. It's a college town, right? It's not too far from Toronto. Yeah.
That's correct. I lived there for 23 years, moved out of there in end of 2019, just in time to endure a pandemic in Edmonton, Alberta. But anyway, so I started playing. This guy came up to me when we were playing in Guelph, and he said, you guys, that was great. Like, you guys listened to a lot of Big Black? And I said,
Big Black uses a rhythm box.
Drum machine as well. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, the band that was influenced by Jesus Lizard. But they didn't have Mac at first. They had a rhythm box. Yeah.
Oh my God, the Jesus Lizard are one of my favorite bands. And yeah, so the drum machine thing was floating around. I think a lot of people had trouble getting the rhythms they wanted or the drummers they wanted. So anyway, we would do that in a band called Die Octave, and that fizzled out. And then
you didn't give me any Die Octave music.
I was just checking with Dallas and Steve recently to see if we had the recordings. We did a recording with this guy and he ripped us off. And he took off with the recordings and all our money and never got it.
I'm interested in the pieces. Were they originals or were you guys doing covers?
Total originals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you part, Vish? Were you part of the songwriting process?
I was, in fact. I mean, I was in the fact that I came up with my drum parts. That Captain Co-Pilot you just played.
Yeah.
It's also me, Steve, and Dallas. There's no drum machine. That's a different band. Okay. So we fizzled out after Dioctave. I think the recording a fiasco just sort of soured us on the whole idea. So we kind of split up for a little bit. Still friends, if memory serves. But we got back together and we formed Captain Co-Pilot. First song Steve and I came up with on our own together, just me and the guitar player, was that Christmas song. We did it. We came up with that on the Christmas break, and that's why it's called the Christmas song. And then,
good reason.
And then, and one of the first songs I ever wrote and sang, and I think you played it as well, Quiet 2. That's a song I wrote about.
Yeah, that's what we started that chunk off with.
Yeah, that's right. That's me mostly. Steve's backing me up, but I wrote that song. I would write songs at the self-serve gas station I worked at.
Yeah.
I'd work 4 to 12. Or midnight to 8 a.m., and I would write songs. It was very slow often back in those days, and I would write songs as the best
I could. Especially midnight to 8 graveyard shift.
That's exactly right. I would listen to lots of music and clean up or whatever I had to do,
serve
the odd customer, and I would write songs. So that Quiet 2 song was inspired. I was thinking about it, and it was inspired by the fact that we kept – Cambridge is not a college town where we grew up. It was a pretty conservative town. There were no rock venues. There was no nothing. If you tried to do a show, they'd come shut you down. Someone would call the cops, and it would happen to us all the time. And I wrote that song about that.
What about singing and playing drums at the same time? Was that tough?
It ended up not being for me. I guess I was relatively coordinated or
ambidextrous.
Yeah, I am ambidextrous, and I am. I am a multitasker by nature. I could do it.
How'd you do it? What was it? Did you use a boom stand? Did you use a headset?
No. I would use a straight stand until we figured out a boom stand was better. As we played, I figured it out. I didn't really know, practice and live is different. So practice, we just did whatever.
Now, there's been some great guys. That guy, the only white band signed to Motown. Their drummer was the lead singer. The Cat and the Eagle, Don Henley.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. My son's name is Levon.
Levon Helm's a great singer, drummer, man.
Absolutely the best.
Absolutely. On both levels. I love his voice, and I love his style of playing drums. And he was the only non-Canadian in the band.
From Arkansas, that is correct. And I love his whole
But I, you know what? Rick Danko, I'm a big fan of Rick Danko. And Richard Manuel had the trippiest voice in the world and his trippy piano. That was a trippy band. That was a very, very trippy band.
Huge influence.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour of December 10, 2022 edition of Walt Pedro Show Special. Guest, Vish Khanna. Hold tight for hour two. December 10, 2022. It's the second hour of the Walk from Pedro.
Built this house that I'm still living in. People tell me I ought to move out, but I'm not giving in. Even though there's a hole in the roof and the rain comes in, at least when I walk down the hall, I know where I'm going and where I've been. This house I'm living in. I guess I didn't raise the roof beams high. Well, not such a skilled carpenter, am I? The floorboards creak underneath my feet. Ah, but at least it's a familiar place, and life here is basically sweet. Or at least bittersweet.
leave, you can stay, you can shoo me away.
I'm gonna win your heart back.
You can say it ever through, you can find someone new.
I'm gonna win your heart back.
You can plot, you can steal, you can clap like a stew.
I'm gonna win your heart back.
You can say that I'm nuts, you can hate on my guts, but
I'm gonna win your heart back.
Go! You can say get a life, you can be someone's wife.
I'm gonna win your heart back.
You can look really pretty when you leave in the city, but
I'm gonna win your heart back.
If I wanted to, I could get along, find a different love, sing a different song. As it is, I see nothing wrong. Dreaming of only. You. You can say a little prayer, you can flirt with the mayor, but
I'm gonna win your heart back.
You can be a little cheater with the man who checks your meter, but
I'm gonna win your heart back.
You can babble like a brook, sneak around like a crook.
I'm gonna win your heart back.
You can wind up in a prison made especially for women, but
I'm gonna win your heart back.
Go! You can make me a list of all the lips that you kissed, but
I'm gonna win your heart back.
You can leave me again like you did back when, but
I'm gonna win your heart back.
If I wanted to, I could get along, find a different kind of love, sing a different kind of song. As it is, I see nothing wrong. It's dreaming of only you.
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with the Neutron Stars doing In the Air. Then from Tokyo, Sam Bennett via Birmingham, Alabama. The House I'm Living In. Hari Sima after that with Petrichor. Then Muskeg Mudsuck out of Alaska with An Behan Anata Bokabon Verse. Head cut after that with Cactus Flower, and finally Out Loud Choir with I'm Gonna Win Your Heart Back. Some of those hee-haw musics were rubbed off on you.
Well, I liked so the Crying Out Loud Choir was an experiment, as a side project that kind of took off. I just liked the idea in the punk rock spirit of having anyone who wanted to be in a band join the band. So
yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing on guitar. I couldn't sing, but I could write some songs. That band that you heard is like 20 odd people from Guelph, Ontario, some of whom always wanted to be in a band and some of whom had been in bands. And I wanted everyone to kind of, it was like a,
is there 20 people in that recording?
Yeah, there's 20 people on that recording. That's
okay.
Correct.
What about Neutron Stars? What's that about?
So Neutron Stars was the band I was in after Captain Copile with my good friend Tristan O'Malley. He was looking, we were roommates for about a year, and we kept our distance a little bit. I was going through kind of a tough time with a lady and trying to do school. And
well, what about school? Did you come after high school, did you want to take higher education for music?
No, I did two English degrees. I did an undergraduate English degree and a master's degree. And in both cases, my master's thesis at the end of the undergrad was about the pervasiveness of hip hop culture. And the master's thesis paper was on the history and advent of the, popular culture industry as told via the Bob Dylan album Love and Theft from 2001.
Okay, so both musical themes. But you didn't want to pursue music in higher education.
I kind of subscribe to a Levon Helm approach. I'm self-taught.
Yeah, yeah, for better, autodidact.
For better or for worse, I'm totally self-taught on the drums.
Everybody's got to find their own way. And I'm just interested who goes to higher education, who doesn't. Some people says it almost ruined them. Some people says it made them better. Some people said they got some good connects. Those are the Berklee School of Music ones. who go to like Mills College, it was incredibly profound on them. So that's why I ask about this stuff. I think there's a billion different ways to get higher education, or you know, some cat who lives in his car teaching you shit.
Well, I learned everything I learned about playing music from going to shows. That was my education. Seeing the drummers that I am most influenced, I just watch them. I just watch the drummers.
Well, you know, but that's what's great about club gigs, because I bet you at that arena rock gig that you first went to, you couldn't pay much attention to the drummer.
I couldn't see anything except I have a memory of Les Claypool. By the way, what? I figured this out. I saw you and Primus
at the Maple Leaf.
Varsity Arena in Toronto.
Yeah, it's where the Maple Leafs used to play, an old beat-up pad, and that's where I met two of the Rush Cats.
No, that's not true. That you played at the University of Toronto's arena, the Varsity Arena, is the show I saw, unless you did another one.
Yeah, because I remember they had Maple Leafs. It was written in the locker room and shit. But it was old-timey and all beat up. I mean, this was...
Yeah, they used the same iconography, the Varsity team at the University of Toronto team also used like a blue maple leaf, but unless I'm totally wrong, and I don't think I am, I had the poster up in my wall.
I know it was a hockey arena, and I know it was old timey, and I know I met two of the Rush guys. That's all I remember. You can be correct. There's no problem with that. There's no problem with that. But I do want to play another Out Loud choir, especially now that I know that there's 30 people in the band.
I prefer the cold air to your brown hair and your green eyes into which I used to stare. I prefer the snowfall to your telephone call so seldom, if ever, at all. I prefer my heartache to the love that we had made on those days when you give me a break. I prefer feeling numb to being struck dumb by your beauty whenever you come by. Die without your green eyes watching over the love
dash this one out. Get some of that comfort that people talk about. And for the avoidance of doubt, I will cradle your eyeballs while they operate, and give all of the doctors hell during visiting hours. And as you convalesce, I will try my best to argue with the mornings, but I find electric time don't take no for an answer. Maybe in the next life we can be ballet dancers. Give you all the time you need. Make sure that it's well spent. Come up with some scheme to afford the rent. And I know it won't stop the bad days, but I'll hold all the world back. I'll live my life on the edge of some farcical collapse. I'll do my very best not to die. I'll hold your eyes on a platter and sigh.
Show. We start off that chunk of music with the Out Loud Choir again, people. The Crying Out Loud Choir. Remember, this project's put together to prove that anybody can be in a band. I love it.
I love that.
Yeah. Thank you, Vish. The Love That I Hide. Then we had Bondo, Brand New. This is a SoCal band that I don't know of, but I do now. Mind Room. They call it a slow speed hardcore or some shit. Whatever. So you don't have to call it. Music's good enough, people. You don't need a genre name. Sam Cutton after that. On a Platter. Larry Boast. Southern Oregon. That Girl. That was Marla Thomas's TV show, right? Ray Shin, Danny Thomas's daughter.
I know Danny Thomas. Yeah, of course.
Right. That hospital, St. Jude's, right, for cancer for kids in Memphis. Ray Shin after
married to Phil Donahue, right? Married to Phil Donahue.
That's right. Probably not Danny Kaye, but Marlo Thomas, yeah. No, Danny Thomas, not Danny Kaye. Shit, I'm mixing everybody up. Celebrities, people. Ray Shin from Reno after that. And then finally, Nathan Cole's outfit with Flavor. Oh, yeah. This sounds like you helping somebody out.
It's called Favorite. I don't know what Nathan, where he got his lyrical ideas or concepts from, but that was a band I was in, and you can hear me playing drums on that one, and we did a lot of stuff and played a lot of shows, made one record, and life happened, and we stopped. But
it was like kind of his band that you joined, or did you write songs for him?
Nathan was a guy, and he still is a guy in Guelph, who plays music wherever and whenever he can, and I don't know what happened. He got into the Hillside Festival in Guelph, which is a really lovely non-corporate outdoor music festival. Happens every summer. And he got in, and he was looking to put a band together, and we made conversation. I said, well, I'll do it. And then he put a band together, and it stuck. Like, he put the band together just to play one show.
Yeah.
And then we ended up going on and practicing for several times a week, 5 hours at a time, and at least, and I did everything else. I did all the booking of touring and recording studio stuff and the organizational stuff, and I played drums.
Said touring, did you do full-on Canadian tours?
As a road manager.
What's that road called? 401? I mean, that's a long motherfucker.
Yeah, I have toured across Canada in a few different bands. I have done it.
Maritime?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Watt has yet to do Maritime. One day, one way, though, I swear.
I'm going to send a note to you and to the people who organize the best festival in Canada. It's called Sappy Fest in Sackville, New Brunswick.
Yeah.
Watt, you got to do it. The best.
I would love to play out there, you know. But that 401, what a road. We think the I-10 is bad. That's intense.
Yeah,
True north, absolutely. Now, I've done the 401 in the out west. I've gone across the three mountain ranges to get Banff? When you break into the prairie, right, when you come over. And so there's Calgary, and then you go north to Edmonton. And what they call Edmonton. Last time I played Edmonton, it was the first day without snow in 280 days. They call it Dirt Town. But
yeah,
really cool people there. Really cool people there. Everywhere. I love it. So, by helping out Nathan Coles, you actually learned a bunch of other practical stuff as far as, because drumming ain't just drumming, right? Booking tours, all that stuff.
If I think on it, I did that from the beginning. I was one of the people in Captain Copilot and all the bands I've been in that organized everything. So that's a little bit one of my absolute guides in life or heroes at that point, and still to this day, is Ian MacKay.
We're
all very inspired by the DIY ethic that he exemplified, that you exemplified, and so it was just a matter of really putting an emphasis on the D part. We really wanted to do things, and we did, and it was all inspired by that, like anything's possible. So
the real early guys were Black Flag, and also Vancouver, DOA.
DOA
was torn really early. Joey, at that time, he had Biscuit and Randy Rampage, and man, they played everywhere. They helped build the circuit. Them and Flag helped build the circuit. And of course,
No, I've interviewed Joey Keithley a few times in my life.
I think he's a councilman now, right?
Yeah, he's like a politician. He's switched it up, and he's going to make the change from within. So he's doing that. Right.
He's got a good heart. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, December 10, 2022 edition Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Vish Khanna. Hold tight for hour three. December 10, 2022. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show. Thank you.
Everything's immediate. Everything is temporary. I was just about to quit when you sat me down and said you'd be my lady. We put everything up on the table then. Everything was on the floor. It's a wonder that we were able to find our way out to the door. Everything is temporary. I was just about to quit when you sat me down and you really scared me. Everything was on the table and everything was on the floor. And it's a wonder that I was able to make it home with you at all.
Walk for Pedro show start off the third hour with Dry Tickle on the table. Then out of Barcelona, Balcanis with Notorio Arriago. Arriago. See, I fuck up all the languages, even my own. Bad Reputation with Ami To Mean. Tony J, A Good and Faithful Servant. Bajan Boy, Brother AJ in Netherlands, with I Love You So. And finally, Calyx. Calyx? With two of
Calyx?
Us. I don't know. Like I said, with English, you got to hear somebody say it first because you cannot go by the spelling. By the way, people, it ain't fucking Vish. It's Vish. Sorry.
It's
okay,
all right.
So tell us about these projects here.
Yeah, this was a time in my life where I was in five bands at the same time. Every single night I was at a band practice. So the Crying Out Loud Choir, the Neutron Stars, Nathan Cole's Outfit, Dry Tickle, Calyx, all going at the same time. Calyx was a band fronted by a woman named Tanya Hobbs, who was my friend. She plays guitar and sings and writes all the lyrics. I really love this band. I got to do some more, I think, creative stuff, drumming, than I had. Well, it was all informed. Everything was... When you're in five bands at the same time, everything kind of informs each other, I find. So Every bit of playing, I would bring things and parts would be sort of intermingling, and I was playing the best I've ever played, and it was fun. And Dry Tickle was a kind of more of a country, obviously like a country folk thing led by a great songwriter named Greg Denton. And he asked me to pick this song because he thought I played it. He liked my part, my drumming on it a lot. And I don't remember if I invented it or he suggested it, but it was just these are all just things you do.
You ever listen to drums? You ever listen to drums on Merle Haggard records? I mean, the dude's doing 99% brushes.
Yes, that's
I love that. You know, so they open it up for the singer, so we don't have to holler over the band. Yeah.
Yeah, I would go to the store and I'd buy all those. I bought brushes. I bought those. What are they called? You know, straw kind of sticks.
Perkins plays those. Yeah.
Yeah, I bought all those things, and I liked trying new sounds. It was fun.
Did you ever go back to some of that music you heard in the basement where they were playing the tabla?
No, I never engaged. No, the closest would be any kind of improvised or jazz. That's a big part of my life that I didn't really get to capture, but sometimes you get in those zones.
Because I heard Perkins told me about tabla cats. He said the loops can be like fucking half hour long.
Exactly.
They use some open hand, close hand thing to notate them, and you master, like, you get your own, like, loop going, and, like, the best guy's got only, like, four or five of them. They are so intricate.
Yes, I would try to play them at those pujas in between whatever, when people were taking a break, and someone would come around and be like, do you know how expensive that drum is? Maybe you shouldn't be playing it. But I would try to play it every once in a while, and it was fun. I grew to appreciate my Indian heritage and culture when I got into university, because people would say, oh, my God, you grew up. So did you get to have Indian food every day? I'm like, I had to. I had no choice. I didn't want to eat it. And they're like, oh, you were so lucky. I'm like, I was? I didn't know that. And then, you start to realize.
No, it's like me when I came from Virginia and I first had Mexican food. I mean, we had Latin guys, Puerto Rican and Filipino. I liked their chow too, but for some reason, man, I really got into the chow here. Food is, food is a trippy thing, okay?
Absolutely.
It is a trippy thing. Talk about a gateway drug. Look, here's another prize you gave me. Wax Mannequin. Listen to that.
People changed her mind. Only bold mistakes. Three black bells ring out for something. One of them is calling you to war. Another one is somber and it's making you feel ill. A spell has a wise intent. It listens really close to those before. As we gather round in joy, the language it learns us with a careful tone. What you're fighting for? What you're fighting for? What you're fighting for?
daybreak brings me around again from another restless night of fighting demons in my head. But I'm not scared anymore, no, I'm not. No, I'm not afraid of that light. I'm not afraid. Good morning, Mr. Vampire. You're sleeping like you're dead. Good morning, Mr. Vampire. It's time to face the living world. All every night from dusk till dawn. But it's oh so hard when the stakes are this high. But I'm not scared anymore, no I'm not. No, I'm not afraid of that lie. Good morning, Mr. Vampire. It's time to face the living world. Good morning, Mr. Vampire. Good morning, Mr. Vampire. Good morning to you all.
Thank you all. Cheers.
My name is Matthias, I came to say this. I've got a big bushy beard and kissable lips, and I carry all my fat in my ass and my hips. The rest of me is skinny as a stick. In the 60s my mom was thin and mini-skirted. She was raised as a Catholic, but then she converted, 'cause she loved my dad's religion. She loved him too. And that's how I was born a Jew. They lived and went to school in Buffalo, but my dad decided that they had to go, 'cause the Vietnam War would not be good for his health. And that's how I was born in the Commonwealth. Where we're born and when we die, we can't control that. And life in between is just war and combat. There are targets you can shoot for, lines of circumvent, but most of life is an accident. I've spent time in Peterborough and in Winnipeg, and leaving is living if you just use your legs. Everywhere is nice if you drink enough beer, so some days I'm there and some days I'm here. Not about sowing my wild oats or whatever. I sowed my oats when I was young and I thought I was clever. And my oats all rotted in the field where they lay. And I'm oatless and unemployed these days. But I have a ukulele, I have a guitar. Though I don't have a house or a kid or a car, I'd like to keep it that way for as long as I can. But you know what they say about the best laid plans. When we're born and when we die, we can't control that. And life in between is just war and combat. There are targets you can shoot for, minds to circumvent, but most of life is an accident. And an accident is something that you don't plan. It's like the Y chromosome between a woman and a man. One day I might get hit by a bus or get cancer, But right now all I am is a fabulous dancer. So dance with me, baby. Put your hands on my hips. Kiss my aforementioned kissable lips. Wherever we are, baby, that's where we're at. My name is Matthias, and I came to say that.
Watch the Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Started the chunk off with Wax Mannequin doing Black Bells. Then we had Mark Shippey and Alex Cunningham doing Please Stand Here. Rob Dobbins spec after that with Barleyworth. Then Tim Hohouse, I think he's on tour now out of England. But this is him live in the Netherlands doing Good Morning, Mr. Vampire. And then finally, My Burning Hell with the tune My Name is Matthias. Okay. Enlighten us here, Vish.
We did a we did a tour across Canada, Western Canada, from Ontario to all the remote locales you can think of in British Columbia and back. We did a tour both ways. And this was with a guy named Chris Aidney, who goes by Wax Mannequin, and Matthias Kalm, who fronts a band that's still active. They're both still active, but the band is called The Burning Hell. And the trick was that I would be playing drums with each of them. And they would just switch. Matthias would play bass for Chris on guitar. Chris would play bass for Matthias on ukulele. I'd play drums for both. So we would do two sets in every city. And by the time we got to British Columbia, in Courtney, British Columbia, a guy named Corin Fox, Chris knew, said, why don't we make a recording? Which is really a beautiful thing, to go on tour, have some new songs, and to actually get to capture them while you're playing warm, you know, while you're playing.
No, I know
well.
All about it. This last MSSV album, that was Mike Begetter, the boss of the band's idea. Why record before the tour instead of after, where you all practice? We got everything done in one day.
Yeah, this was a bit different. We did it during the tour. So we got all the way to BC, and we played a bunch of shows.
Oh, it's the halfway mark, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is before we start to drive back to Ontario. Very eventful tour, but it's very meaningful to me that we have this 7-inch that this guy recorded for us. And, we did these two songs are in the A side and the B side. For some reason, I had no decision-making ability here, but I stand by it, I suppose. They wanted to do a cover of Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. So that's the B side.
Maybe it was supposed to be ironic.
I don't know. No, it was pretty, it was pretty sincere. So we did that. And
I think you could be sincerely ironic.
I really, I don't know. This was all pretty quickly done in Corwin's home studio. I'll tell you,
You only had half a tour to do it, but still, it's better than like no. Usually albums are done like with no gigs. You're just totally cold. And then after you do the tours, you get the songs together so much better.
Absolutely. No, I agree. This was fun. It was just fun. We played a few more shows after this. We haven't gotten back together in a while. Matthias is all the way out in Charlottetown, Prince Edward Island.
Oh, you got to trade files over the internet then. So what are you doing musically right now, Vish?
Musically, it's pretty quiet since the pandemic. I got some invitations to jam with people here in Edmonton since I moved. I mostly just work on my Creative Control podcast and write about music still, music journalism. So I'm not.
You don't collaborate by trading files over the internet?
Most of these days playing with my son, my son, Levon, is 11 and becoming quite a skilled piano player. And so we jam a little bit on things. But I'm somewhat, I'll get back at it, I'm sure, Mike. Pandemic kind of took some wind out of my sails. I haven't been jamming or anything. So
no, but this other side, you know, now I was doing it 10 years before the situation, but like somebody like Bob Lee, buddy of mine, you know, last drummer of the Black Gang, he put up microphones in a room of his pad. Now he does drums for people, you know, for online and stuff. That, you know, it used to be like musician people never recorded themselves. There's more and more of that happening.
Yeah, that's true. I just talked to someone who told me about some fancy phone app that is actually really good for this. So I'm going to set my drum kit back up. I had to take it down because we had some guests in the guest room in our new house. So I'm going to set it back up. I'm going to try that.
Well, if you need a lab rat, send me some drum tracks and I'll try to put some bass guitar on it.
This would be the thrill of my life.
And then you take it from there.
All right, I'm in. Absolutely.
You can have your boy play some keyboard, Levon, on it too.
Okay. Sounds great, Mike. I appreciate that.
No, we can do so much more with the internet than just spread lies and hate. You know, we can collaborate with art.
Yes, I agree. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I want to do this.
Okay. And I didn't get to ask you this. You, well, I kind of intimated me, Levon Helm, but did you have other people you looked up to on drums while you were learning drums?
Yeah, the drummers that, they're local people. A guy named Ryan Alinsky in a band called the Holocrone, Kobe Dowdell in a band called the Hubblebunk. They just did things that I'd never seen done. Otherwise, I'll give you a Brendan Canty of Fugazi.
Yeah, great. Man, that guy can put the kick drum anywhere he wants.
Yeah, John Wright.
It's like Zigaboo. He reminds me of Zigaboo. I got to play with Mess Aesthetics and got to see him with Joe Lally. Yeah. We shared the stage in Baltimore. Do you have where can people find you on the internet, Vish?
You can find me on at Vish Khanna on most of the whatever the platform still exists.
Oh, we got to spell that for people. V I S H K H A N N A.
Yeah, VISHKHANNA.com or on all the social media, Mike.
Ah, so you have your own website, too. Good. That's like having your own fanzine. I love it.
Yeah. And I got this Creative Control podcast that people seem to like. So
yep, that, too. People check it out. He talks. He's really good to talk about music for. And we're going to collab, huh? And then we'll get some stuff together and come back on the show. Love having you aboard, Vish, truly. People, it's been the December 10, 2022 edition of Y. Pedro Show. Give your powder dry.